That's exciting to me, just to see that happening and those opportunities for people to get involved and being a blessing to not only our community here, but just to the community out there to serve and love people in the name of Jesus. And, you know, I like the fact, like Quincy was saying, even if you don't have skills, you're welcome and you can be used. And I remember when they first started going, there was an unnamed gentleman who had very little skills. He would say he had no skills, but he had a willing heart, and he just came out, and he was like, man, just teach me. And so he would jump in, and we were doing a big project down at the Resurrection Center, and man, by the end of it, he's like, now he's like the go-to guy when it comes to sheetrock patches and repairs, you know? And he just all it takes is an open heart, and sometimes just being willing to step in there and just do whatever you can. So I'm excited to see what God's going to do through that ministry. Before we get started this morning, I just want to mention a couple things. One, there's an announcement in your bulletin about the Weekend to Remember. It's a marriage getaway. And the reason I want to mention it is it's a great opportunity for married couples, young, old. It doesn't matter if you're newly married or been married for a long time, just to grow in your relationship with one another and your relationship with God. But for the next couple weeks, it's like there's a buy one, get one free on the registration. And so it's a great opportunity. I think it's at World Golf Village. So you can look at that. You also hear a little bit more about that in a few minutes. It's been a blessing to a number of people in our congregation. That, and then one other announcement that's not in the bulletin, for the Wednesday night groups that are coming up, we need childcare workers. And for those Wednesdays, the second and fourth Wednesday, we actually pay for the childcare workers during that time. So if you are interested in that, willing, and just want to be a blessing and make a few extra bucks, go talk to Shante at the kids counter there. She'll tell you more about that and get you signed up for that. All right. This morning, it's first Sunday of the month, and we usually on the first Sunday we share communion together. So that's kind of be the focal point of where we go this morning. When we come together as the church, you know, like Chris mentioned at the beginning, we didn't come to church. I know that that's the way we kind of articulate it sometimes. Hey, you going to church? What church do you go to? We are the church as we gather together. And when we come together like this, we don't come together just to hear music and worship through song or to hear someone come up and present a message from the scripture. That all takes place usually when we gather together, but that's not why we gather together. The reason we gather together is because a little over 2,000 years ago, God stepped out of heaven, came to earth, took on flesh, and showed us how much he loved us. The Messiah, Jesus, came, the rescuer, the deliverer, the one who had no sin, became sin for all of us. He took all of his sin, or all of our sin, on his shoulders on the cross. He paid that price that we couldn't pay, died, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and he's there right now. So the reason we gather is not to worship and sing and hear a message. We gather because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and he's alive, okay? So those of us who are here in here and believe that and know that, we're here because we've experienced his work in our lives, and he's still with us, okay? So when he left, he didn't leave us alone. He sent his Spirit to work in our hearts, and so we've experienced that. And so as the gathered church, we come together, and we do. We worship through song, and we hear the word, and we're encouraged and strengthened in our walk with him. Okay. Normally when we get together, we go through books of the Bible, and I want to let you know that in a couple weeks, we're going to start a new series. We're going to go through the book of 1 Corinthians, and that series is going to be called We Are the Church, and in that book, in 1 Corinthians, Paul's talking to the church that's gathered there in Corinth, and they got all kinds of issues. There's all kinds of struggles within and as individuals, and he tells us how to deal with that, and so we're going to walk through that. Passage by passage, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. It'll probably take us up to the new year. So I just want to let you know that's where we're going. But over the next couple weeks, we're going to kind of just take a little bit of a break and do some standalone messages like we did last week and this week. So if you were here last week, we talked about how important it is for all of us to keep Christ at the center of our lives. How Jesus needs to stay at the center of our lives, and Jesus needs to stay at the center of the church. But we were reminded that we are the church, so as we go as individuals, so goes the church. So it's really easy to look at the church. So many people look at the church in America and you point the finger and we forget. That's us. So that means we have the ability to bring change, right? As we grow in our relationship with God, as we grow in our relationship with one another, as we sharpen one another, we can bring change to what's going on in the life of the church. But we have to stay centered, and that's key. And so keeping Christ at the center of our lives, center of our marriages, our households. I was talking to a pilot once, and he was saying how important it is for a pilot to stay on course. He said, if you get off 1 degree, if you're flying an airplane, you get off 1 degree, when you travel 1 mile, at the end of that, you'll be 92 feet off of your original destination, which at first you're like, 92 feet, that's, you know, from maybe the front to the, you know, to the cafe here. That's not too bad. So if you're, I mean, you miss it just by a little bit. Well, if you're on a flight from JFK to LAX, that 1 degree by the time you get there can make the difference from you going to the baggage counter to get your suitcases to you grabbing your seat cushion because you're 40 miles out in the middle of the Pacific and about to go down. All right? So get a degree off. And look at what it can do. And we just need to remember that we need to stay close to Jesus. It's so easy to let the world distract us. It's so easy to even let religion take the place that only Jesus should take in our lives. And so we're here to encourage one another and strengthen one another as we walk with him. And we want to make sure that our relationship with him stays central. Last week we talked about this battle between the flesh and the spirit. We all have this battle within us, the sinful nature that tugs at us, but then God's spirit in those of us who know him, and the spirit moves us to do what pleases God, but the sinful nature draws us away from him. And one thing I forgot to say last week that I want to make sure I say this week is in that battle, what you feed is what's going to lead you in life. Okay? So how do you feed the spirit's work in your life? Spending time with God, spending time in his word, spending time in prayer, loving and serving other people, those selfless acts like those guys we're talking about. As you cultivate that in your walk with God, your spiritual life just grows and you feed the spirit who leads and guides you step by step through life. And for some of us, it's hard because life is hectic. We've talked about how distracted we are. And so I just want to encourage you, make sure, however you do it, you're finding time alone with God. Whatever it takes. We've given you that right now media stuff. If you haven't received an email with an invite to that, you should have received it, so please contact us. But that's got all kinds of Bible studies and ways for you to grow in your faith. There's simple little things. Out there on the counter, these little devotionals, our daily bread. And some people go, oh man, that's like, you know, it's one page. It takes 5 minutes. It's like Christianity light. Well, listen, I'd rather have Christianity light than Christianity none, okay? It's like if you're not doing anything, start somewhere, you know? And you can read that page, and then you can read that passage, and then you trust the Spirit of God to work in you. Whenever you get into the Scripture, God will work in your heart. And so it's important that we all are growing. The more time we spend with Jesus, the more we'll look like Jesus. And that was what we talked about last week, was Paul talks about the battle of the flesh and the spirit, and he goes, man, here's what the sinful nature looks like, and he tells us. It's all of these things, lust, drunkenness, division, jealousy, envy. And he goes, a life lived in according with the spirit is marked by this fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. And we said, man, that's what the church is supposed to look like. That's what our lives are supposed to look like. Why does the world look on and not think of those things when they think about Christians or when they think about the church? And so it's important for us to be growing. And as we grow, then those things will be cultivated in our lives, and we'll see that fruit born out of our lives. And the reality is some of us in here are further along the line than others. We're all a work in progress. If you think you have arrived, you're in trouble because you're deceived, because none of us have arrived. The longer I do this, the longer I share God's word and pastor, the more that I realize how much I don't know and how much I still need to grow. And so make sure you don't let spiritual pride creep in. It's real easy. You can look back and go, man, I used to be there and look at where I am now, and that's a great thing. But remember how that happened. It wasn't what you did. It was what he did. And he works those things in and through us. And yeah, you make choices to turn away from that sinful nature and turn toward God, but it's him working in us. So this morning, I want to look at a passage from Titus chapter 3. Paul is writing to Titus. Titus is a young man or a man that he shared the gospel with, who came to faith, and he's discipled him. So he's sharing some words with Titus, a leader in the church, that are very important, okay? Titus 3, verses 3 through 7. He writes, "Once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. But when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior." All right, so in this passage, Paul reminds Titus of basically who they were before coming into a relationship with Jesus. He goes, man, we were foolish, disobedient, we were misled, and slaves to all kinds of lust, all of this stuff. Evil, hatred, this is who we were. And he goes, but when God, our Savior, revealed what? His kindness and love, what did he do? He saved us. This is who we were. This is what God has done, okay? This is who we were. This is what he has done. He saved us by his kindness, by his love. He saved us. Notice, he doesn't say, this is who we were, and look at how we have changed. This is who we once were. Now look at how good we are now. What does he say? This is how we were, and don't forget how good God is, right? Because he goes, there was no goodness in you. Don't fool yourself. We were enslaved to all this stuff, man. We were bound. We had no hope. And then the kindness and love of God showed up, and what happened? Freedom came. And God gave them life. God saved them. God changed them. And he says, don't forget what the Savior has done. He saved us. Why? Because we were worthy of being saved? I mean, this is Paul and Titus. I mean, leaders. You know, Paul's writing all kinds of scripture. I mean, did God save us because he knew that when he saved us, we'd be heroes in the faith, we'd lead his church? No. Why did he say he saved us? Because of his love and mercy. Didn't have anything to do with our righteousness. I love how Paul says it. He goes, he washed away our sins and gave us new birth by the Holy Spirit. He has cleansed us and made us new. How he focuses on what God has done in Christ. And I love verse 7. Because of his grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. Because of what? His grace. Not your goodness, but his grace. What did he do? He made us what? Right in our relationship. It wasn't because of your rightness. It wasn't because of how good you are. It's because of how good he is. Paul's like, do you remember what he's done? In spite of all we were, the mess that we were, he loved us. And out of his mercy and his love, he washed away our sins. And then look at what he says next in Titus 3, verse 8. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to insist on these teachings so that all who trust in God will devote themselves to doing good. These teachings are good and beneficial to everyone. So Paul's going, okay, don't forget this truth. And I want you to hold on to it. I want you to insist that it's being taught. I want you to make sure that everyone knows it. Why? So that people will then devote themselves to doing good. That's really important, the order of the way this all goes. He doesn't say, man, our lives were a mess. Remember where we were? And then God working in us or you know, because we were good or we did these good things and God showed us favor. No, he goes, God showed mercy. He freed us. He washed us of our sins. And then as a result, we've devoted ourselves to doing good. Get it? He doesn't love you because you're good, because I got a secret for you. You're not. All right? You're not, and I'm not. That sinful nature works inside every one of us, and we all have our stuff and our moments. He doesn't love you because you're good. He loves you because he's good. And he sent his son to show us that. And so we're gathered here this morning because we know a God who stepped out of heaven and showed us how much we're loved, showed us the value that we have to him. And he goes, you got to teach this to people. People need to know how much God loves them. People need to know that it's not about them being good enough to give themselves to God. It's about how good God is. And when people get that, and when they surrender and they put their faith in him, he goes, then they're gonna fall in love with him. And when we fall in love with Jesus, understand that he first loved us, it's like, Lord, what can I do? I want to serve you. I want to share this love with other people. How many of you just really enjoy evangelism? It's not even a word we use much in the church anymore, right? So I got one hand up in the whole crowd, right? When you think of evangelism, what do you think of? You think of, now we think a lot of like the door knockers, you know, who come to the door. And most of us in here are going, man, did they not see the sign? No soliciting. I don't care if you're a Mormon, Jehovah's Witness. I don't care if you're from First Baptist. Just leave me alone, right? It's not something that many of us love or enjoy doing. Because when we think evangelism, that's what we think of. What Paul's saying to Titus, he goes, listen, this is good news. It's the good news of the gospel. We got to share this with people. And if you've been around here at Emmaus for any amount of time, last Easter we gave everyone a book called Saturate. It's probably sitting on your shelf somewhere. It's real colorful. It's fluorescent. It's got like a target on it, right? It's drawing you to it. You should pick it up and read it. But in that book, if you're new, you should get that book. Anyhow, but in that book, Jeff Vanderstelt talks about being disciples of Jesus in the everyday stuff of life. He talks about sharing this love that we found with the people who are around us in the natural rhythms of life. You don't have to be a door knocker to effectively share the love of Jesus. In fact, nowadays, it's probably not the most effective way to share the love of Jesus. Okay? But there's opportunity all around you. So we're all growing in our walk with him, but it starts with knowing him. It starts with knowing his love. And Paul says, you have to teach this. People have to know this. It's not about them being good or earning their salvation. It's about the goodness of God expressed in Jesus, surrendering to that, and then he gives us his spirit that lives inside of us and empowers us to then live for him. He goes, teach that, and then people will fall in love with him and they will want to do those things. It should be from our heart. You should be excited to tell your neighbor, your coworker, your fellow student about what God has done, the goodness of God expressed to the world. And we should all be growing in that. And like I said earlier, we're all in process, right? So don't ever make assumptions. Don't ever make assumptions that the person sitting next to you here as we're gathered even knows or believes in Jesus. They may be skeptical. The Spirit may still be working in them, drawing them. And remember, we're no better than the person next to us because it was out of God's goodness and love and grace that he drew us to himself, right? We all have a story. And when you come to know him, it's like, share your story. So this morning, do something a little bit different. I'm going to ask Adam Purcell, and Katie, if you want to come up with them, whatever you guys want to do, I don't want to get in the middle of that, but as a couple, if you guys want to come up, and they're going to share a little bit of their story, what their journey has been like in Christ over the last year or so, and yeah, just go for it.
Am I on? Okay. Morning, Emmaus. So how many churches are there in Jacksonville? I just always wanted to do that, Chris. I'm sorry, man. All right.
That's awesome.
So we just we want to share with you guys our story of what God has done in our lives. It's a to us, it's a pretty crazy story. It's a miracle for our family. And I'm a little nervous about doing this, and I'll probably boo-hoo in about 2 seconds into it. But, you know, a couple things that Vic has said, you know, the gist in this story for me is not what I did or what we did, but truly what he did. That is so true in our story, because we were on the way out, and God truly met us where we were and saved our marriage and our relationship. So I'll jump right into it for you with us. Me and Katie met in 2009 in a bar in Jacksonville Beach. And and when I met Katie, Katie had just moved to Jacksonville, gotten out of school from Melbourne, Florida, was a cancer survivor, was just recovering from cancer with it, like a couple of months, was still growing all of her hair back and everything, and was a volleyball player. And we had a lot of fun that summer when we first met. We ended up dating for a couple of years, got married in August of 2012. And prior to getting married, obviously, when we started dating, when Katie was telling me her story about cancer, she had blood cancer and basically was not going to be able to have kids. So we thought, right? But it was something that didn't bother me. I fell in love with Katie so hard it didn't really matter to me. And we decided we were going to get married, and we had this whole life planned. You know, we weren't able to have kids, so that was fine. We were going to buy a big boat, and we were going to be in the Caribbean and traveling the world the whole time. That's what we were going to do. So we got married in August of 2012. 6 months later, we had a little bit of a destination wedding because we're both from Michigan. So we had gone up there and put off our honeymoon for 6 months after our wedding, since we had been out of town for the wedding. So the day before we're leaving for our honeymoon in Jamaica, 6 months after our marriage, literally the night before we're leaving in like 7 hours, Katie's like, I'm pregnant. I was like, what do you mean you're pregnant? I'm like, you can't get pregnant. Yeah, she's like, I'm telling you, I'm pregnant. I'm like, well, did you take a test? And she says, no. I'm like, well, then how do you know you're pregnant? She's like, I'm telling you, I'm a woman. I know it. I'm pregnant. So then we're like, well, we're leaving for Jamaica in the morning for a week. I'm like, do you really want to know tonight, or do you want to wait a week to find out? And naturally, we found out that night. And upon finding out, it was funny because it comes out positive, and I'm elated, excited, jump around for joy, and I turn around, and Katie's literally bawling on the floor. You know, like, I'm not supposed to be able to get pregnant. Why am I pregnant? You know, like, I don't know. It was just a shock for her, right? I mean, it was just something where, you know, she wasn't prepared for it. And it was something that was a big question for both of us, really. You know, kind of like, wow, okay, we're going to have a baby. So that's in March of 2013, about 6 months after we had gotten married. About a month after that, so we're questioning why are we pregnant? At this point, too, keep in mind, I didn't really touch on this. We were not living a Christian life. We were not believers. We were not heavy in the faith. I had grown up in a Christian school pretty much my whole life, but my home life wasn't very, you know, Christ-centered would be the word. And Katie really didn't have that at all growing up in her household. So it wasn't something that our relationship was built on at all. So we're questioning this, you know, being pregnant. We're not sure what to think. Literally about a month later, we find out that Katie's mom back home in Michigan is sick. And she's going to have surgery. She had a form of cancer as well. And she goes through and has this surgery, and this is in April. And then after that surgery, a couple things had actually gone wrong during the surgery. It was a little bit of a botched surgery. Her mom had to go into ICU. And you know, things just weren't looking good for her. It was a weird situation. It was supposed to be a real easy surgery, and things just kind of took a dive. Ended up being about a month after that in May, that Katie's mom took a turn for the worse and had to be life-flighted to U of M Hospital in Ann Arbor, Michigan. At this point, Katie being a couple of months pregnant, was just in a bad place. I mean, I was trying to support her, and she was struggling, you know, being pregnant. Now, all of a sudden, my mom's sick. What's going to happen to my mom? Type of thing. And she ended up going up to Michigan. She calls me a couple weeks later, ends up coming back down. She's like, hey, we're moving to Michigan. And I'm like, what do you mean we're moving to Michigan, you know? She says, look, they think my mom's going to recover from this, but it's going to be a long recovery, a year and change. She's not going to be able to travel. And I want my mom to see me being pregnant and meet my child, you know, our child when she's born. So we talked about it. We fought about it. And it was like, yeah, all right, you know, let's go. So this is in June of 2013. This is, you know, again, less than a year after us being married. We uproot, both quit our jobs, moved to Michigan. I barely had a job lined up. It wasn't a good job, you know, but it was going to pay us something. We actually moved to Michigan. We left our home here, moved in with her dad and her two sisters. You know, she's pregnant. It was just not an ideal situation. It was stressful as could be. So we're up in Michigan. July comes around, and July 19th, things were supposed to be going okay with her mom, and then all of a sudden, big turn, and Katie's mom actually passed away. And at this point, she was, 6 months pregnant? So she's 6 months pregnant. One of the things about moving to Michigan that was neat, my dad was my best friend, and he was still living in Michigan at the time. And he was about an hour away from where we were. So when we had decided to move up there, it was, I'll get to spend more time with my dad, and that'll be cool as well. So Katie's mom died in July. 2 months after that, my dad had actually come down to Florida to visit my sister and his grandkids here, and my dad had a heart attack and passed away while he was here. So now we're in Michigan, where we don't really want to be anyways. It's freezing there if you've never been there, obviously. And the whole reason we had moved there, you know, to be with Katie's mom, for them to be able to meet this child, for me to be able to spend time with my dad. Both were gone just instantly. And through this time was really this is where it just got really bad for us. Our marriage started to just suffer. We're living in Michigan with her dad and her two sisters. She's about to have a baby. Her mom just died. My dad just died. I can't help her grieve because I'm going through it myself. She can't help me because she's really going through it herself. We don't have a foundation in Christ. We're not praying about this stuff together. We don't have anyone that's really even praying for us up there. So it's just a real lonely time and something where we were just, I mean, the struggle was real, you know? I mean, it just was super, super real. And, everything just went super downhill for our marriage, just, you know, and fast. You know, it was, right. So then after that, we had our baby in November, Anna Lee, which you guys have seen, our 2.5-year-old. Okay, I'm sorry. All right. She's telling me to land the plane, like I'm you know. So, okay. I do this, man. I'm sorry. Okay.
Thanks, Katie.
So, you want to tell someone? Go ahead.
No.
Okay. All right. So,
prayer
so we had Anna Lee.
Available after. No, I'm
sorry. I know. So, we had Anna Lee at this point in November, and a couple of months went by after Anna Lee was born. It was like, hey, we got to go back to Florida. That's where our life is. Let's get out of here. It's too cold here. We don't want to be here. And, you know, we want to move back to Florida. So we did. We moved back to Florida. Actually started a job here in June of 2014. Katie stayed in Michigan, actually didn't get down here until September of 2014. So we had spent like those 3 months apart. So with our marriage being in a rocky spot as it was, we're fighting all the time, can't really get along. Now all of a sudden we're apart for 3 months. Not exactly the best thing, you know, to help mend that marriage. Really, if anything, looking back on it, it was just a bigger separator because I moved back here where I knew a bunch of people that, you know, weren't exactly uplifting, but were, you know, down to pick up the tab at the bar, you know, type of thing. And so, you know, that's what was going on. So when Katie finally moved back down here, things were not good, but we were back in Florida, but things just weren't good. Well, we started going to Trinity Fitness when I got back, looking for a place to work out. It got referred to me, and that's actually a mission here that Emmaus supports, that we support. And when I got there, Anthony and Danae Widener really took us under their wing. We started going together. It's a faith-based gym, and Anthony just started meeting with me one-on-one. Hey, man, I want to meet with you. And he just took the time to be involved in my life and started asking deep questions and kind of digging on me. I guess he could just see there was something up with me, you know. And it really changed my perspective. We started meeting once a month, and then he told me about Journey at the time. And he was like, hey, man, you should really check it out. You know, if you're looking for a church, give it a shot. So I did. And I came, and that's when I met Vic. We were there for a couple of months, and I got involved with the Bible study group on Tuesday mornings. And I started kind of pouring into Vic at that point, too. Hey, man, here's kind of what I'm going through in my marriage. Things were still really bad at this point, even though we were, you know, having these people pour into us. And so, you know, just kept coming to the Bible study. I think 6 months went by. Things were still really bad, but we were taking these steps. And Vic was really pouring into me. The Bible study was helping me. Stephen Jones, a lot of guys that were, you know, in that Bible study just started trying to hold me accountable and just ask me what's going on and giving me advice on steps to take with my wife and to make things better. So after about 6 months of doing all of that and pouring into Vic, Vic was like, hey, man, there's this Weekend to Remember coming up. And he's like, I really think you should go. And I was hesitant, you know. I was like, I don't know, man. Maybe, you know, I'll check into it. So we're checking into it, and really, me and Katie at this time, Katie wasn't working, didn't have a great job, wasn't making a lot of money, and actually, kind of used like, I really can't afford it, maybe like as an excuse not to go. But we really didn't have much money. But so I told Vic that, and Vic says, it's cool, man. We'll sponsor you. All right, you know, okay. So we go. All right. So I'm gonna land the plane for you here. Okay. So we get to Weekend to Remember. Bottom line is, guys, I really did not want to go. I did not want to go at all. I can remember my first impression. Vic loves this part. We get there. I mean, there's a lot of people there. I mean, a lot. And they ask the question like, "Who's been here before?" It was amazing how many people raised their hand. Like, I've been here. And I'm like, they're gonna try and sell me a timeshare at the end of this. Like, this is what's gonna happen, you know. And that's how it felt, you know. Like, that's just where my mind was, too, and how bad I didn't want to be there. So, anyway, the first day goes on. They kind of give you this homework assignment after the first night. We go back to the hotel. We get about 3 seconds into the assignment, and we are just kicking and screaming at each other. And it's like, this isn't going to work. And I can remember, Katie always says, she remembers me saying, I need your hand here. Me saying, we're here, and this is for people that are here. And me basically saying, like, this is a waste of time. I don't want to do this. I'm going home. Are you coming with me? And she was in tears, you know, naturally, and was just like, you know, just give it a chance, give it a chance. And I said to her directly, I'm not giving this a chance. I don't want to be here. This is dumb. I'm going home. Let's go. Katie's like, you can get a cab and you can go. I'm staying right here. So I couldn't leave. You know, like, I didn't leave. But I had literally made this mind. I mean, it was a bad day that day. So the next day, anyways, we wake up. I know, man. It's raining. Yeah. But we wake up the next day, man, and same thing. I didn't want to go.
He literally drove us there and then drove us back to the hotel and then decided again to drive us back again. Like, we missed the first session because he was like, I'm not going. I'm like, well, I'm going. Can you just take me back? You know, so it was a fight. And then we were getting divorced the whole day, basically. That's an add-on.
Playing touchdown.
I didn't make sure you guys knew that.
So, long story short, man, when we got back to the hotel that night, I'll end it here, I walked out. I was dead serious that we were getting divorced, and I walked out, and I was going home. I walked to my car, and I got to the parking lot, and I stopped for some reason. I just stopped, and I just sat there, and I just kind of closed my eyes, and I, you know, I prayed, but I hadn't prayed in a, you know, I don't really know what took place, but I just stopped. Something stopped me, and I remember saying, I was like, man, if I get in this car, like, I can't come back. Katie's not going to let me come back if I get in this car. And I just turned around, and I went back up to our room, and I walked in, and Katie was just in tears on the bed, and I grabbed her, and I said, look, I don't know why this keeps happening. Let's just go back. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Let's not get divorced. Let's do this, you know? And I don't know why that happened. It's crazy. And we ended up going back, and I mean, it saved our marriage. We took it serious. They gave us so many tools, so many good things that could help us. And it really, that day saved our marriage. I mean, I don't know how much more in depth I can go. I think you've heard enough, you know? But it was just a crazy weekend. And it was the thing from me taking the step of actually joining this, getting involved in the church, joining the Bible study, actually opening up to Vic, having somebody hold me accountable. It was just all these little steps that led up to this thing. And looking back on it now, it really is like a footprints in the sand type of deal for me, where I'm like, how do we ever get to where we are today? I have two beautiful children. Our marriage is pretty strong. I mean, we're not perfect, just like none of you, like Vic says, you know, but I mean, things are so good. It's like, man, God carried us through the most crazy times, you know, in these valleys. He gave us two miracles that we're not even supposed to be able to have, you know, according to the doctors. And we're just blessed, man. So thanks for letting me share with you guys.
That's good. Thanks, guys. Love you. Awesome. I just love hearing, you know, that story. It's just a reminder, like, you might be three quarters of the way into that story and think, man, there's no, I mean, I remember Adam telling me afterwards, like, man, I walked out, I was done. And I mean, it was like, you know, at the 11th hour, and then God, by his Spirit, did something and was doing something the whole time. And I think that's, you know, I'm going to land the plane here in just a minute. I think, you know, when we come to this time of communion, and I'm going to ask Levi if you guys come on up. And you know, on either side of the stage, there is communion, and also in the back. And when we take that bread, it's broken, reminds us of the broken body of Jesus and the blood that was shed. Listen, it's a piece of bread and some juice. I mean, that's what I was talking about earlier. This is truth. God came to this earth. He died. He rose from the dead. His Spirit is here. He works miracles in people's lives. That's a miracle that God worked in their life. And he wants to do that in our lives. And it may be your first step in coming to Christ. It may be a step toward repairing a relationship. It may be just opening your heart, going, God, this is an area of my heart I need to be delivered from. Whatever it may be, we have to trust and believe that this is true, that the resurrected Jesus and the power of the Spirit is available to us. And that story, when I hear that story, there's, like Adam said, all those little steps. It was Bible studies. It was small groups. It was hanging out with people. It was, you know, Katie didn't tell her side, but, you know, plenty of encouragement there from other ladies so that she wouldn't leave them. You know, she was hanging on no matter what. You know, it was working on both sides, and then having hope, and then the Spirit of God working in the middle of it. And I just want to encourage you. So I want to ask you to stand. We're gonna sing a couple songs in just a minute. I'm going to ask you, as you feel led, if you're a follower of Jesus, to go and take that bread and take that cup. Take a moment off to the side with maybe family, friends. We're going to do a couple songs. You'll have plenty of time to pray. If you need prayer for anything to come up, we'd love to pray for you, talk to you about what's going on in life. No matter what's going on, whatever you need, we'd love to pray for you. But I want to challenge you with this. Like I said earlier, it's not about how good you are. It's not about what you do. It's not about religion. But sometimes you have to take the first step. Scripture says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. You have to take the first step. First step in your relationship with him. Maybe that first step in relationship with others. I mean, the great thing about that story is there were so many people that God used. And just they had willing hearts. So you could come here on a Sunday morning and just quote unquote come to church. That's not the answer. Checking that box isn't the answer. You got to take a step toward something like the Kingsmen, small group, Wednesday night class. I can't do that for you. We can't do that for you. We can make that available, but you have to make the choice. How important is this to you? What's most important in your life? I want to pray for us, and I just want to invite you. I want to invite you to fullness of a relationship in Jesus. And whatever that means for you, wherever you're at, come up and share communion, come up for prayer, whatever you need. But let's pray. God, thank you for the reminder, God, of how much you love us. And God, that you're at work in our lives. I thank you for Adam and Katie and what you're doing in their life. And Lord, in their relationship and in their marriage and in their family. And they haven't arrived, God. But they're together and things are different. And you've resurrected a relationship that only you could do. God, give us that kind of hope. God, those stories are for us to be encouraged, Lord, that you are still the God who does those kind of things. You heal relationships. You still heal physically. God, you heal emotions. God, I pray you help us to take that step toward you, whatever it is. Thank you for dying on that cross. Thank you for your blood that was shed. Thank you for your forgiveness, your love, and your grace. Help us to receive that now as we move toward you, God, by your Spirit. Draw us close. Change our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. As we sing, I want to invite you, come up or in the back, share a moment of communion with those who you're with, maybe who you love, friends, family. And if you have needs for prayer, please come up. We'd love to pray for you. Let's worship through song together.